This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something that is a very pervasive condition. Actually, it's a grab bag of conditions. It's autoimmune disease, and autoimmune disease is surprisingly pervasive. And today we're going to talk to autoimmune wellness advocates Mickey Trescott and Angie Ault, who have written a great book entitled The Autoimmune Wellness Handbook. This is a great book to help to encourage people with an autoimmune disorder. We'll get into the scope of these disorders. It's really amazing how many of them there are and how many people are afflicted to some degree or another. This is a great book that helps to support lifestyle in the treatment of autoimmune disease. Now, we tend to think of autoimmune disease, okay, you go to the doctor, you get a medication, there's not much else you can do. But actually, there's a whole lot you can do, and that's what this book is about. So, a little background on our guests. They're co-authors of the book. Mickey Trescott is a nutritional therapy practitioner, chef, blogger, and she teaches cooking classes online, as well as at Bastyr University, which is quite a distinction because that's an outstanding center of naturopathic training. She also sits on the board of directors for Hashimoto's Awareness, and she founded a website called autoimmunepaleo.com. That sounds like an interesting website for those with chronic illness. And then with us also, the collaborator of Mickey Trescott is Angie Ault, who's also a nutritional therapy consultant, certified health coach, blogger, and she is the creator of SAD to AIP in 6, which is a 6-week online coaching program that teaches participants how to transform their diets and lifestyle. And they join us from different parts of the country. Angie's in Washington, D.C. Mickey's in Newburgh, Oregon. And I'm here in New York City. So through the miracle of modern technology, we're united to talk about the Autoimmune Wellness Handbook. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for having us on.
Yes, give us a little background on how you got involved. You actually have personal stories that propelled you in this direction. I think I read in the introduction of the book that between you, there are two of you, you account for 5 autoimmune disorders, which I guess is not that uncommon because one thing leads to another when you have autoimmunity.
Yeah, so this is Mickey over here in Oregon, and this started for me 5 years ago when I was diagnosed with both Hashimoto's and celiac disease. I had kind of a pretty quick, in the autoimmune world, a year to diagnosis is considered quick, especially compared to Angie over here, which she'll tell her story in a minute. But that year was awful. Just my symptoms were really troubling. I kept going from doctor to doctor, no answers. At one point, I had researched that maybe I was suffering from a thyroid condition. And so starting to learn about those symptoms and starting to be able to request that lab work was a really turning point in actually getting that diagnosis.
So you had to be your own advocate, actually, because doctors for sure were telling you, oh, we can't see anything wrong. And you're a gal and you're harried and your lifestyle, maybe a little neurotic. And so all these symptoms,
for sure,
just psychosomatic or, you need more sleep or maybe you have kids, it's like,
Or depression.
yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
here's some antidepressants. You're anxious. I was 26 too at the time, and I think when doctors are taught about thyroid conditions, they're not usually taught to look for young, not overweight people, that especially women, young women coming in saying that they have these horrible symptoms of the cold hands and feet, the fatigue, they couldn't even get out of bed, the hair loss, they kind of go, oh yeah, you're just sensitive. But it was that sixth doctor that was actually a naturopathic doctor that actually did the testing, the appropriate testing for the antibodies. And of course they came back positive, which at that point was not a surprise to me. The doctor was actually savvy enough to also test for celiac antibodies, which also came back positive. So I got both of those diagnoses on the same day. But this doctor told me that my thyroid labs were still normal and that I didn't need any other treatment other than the gluten-free diet for celiac disease. And, I really did not feel well. At that point, that treatment was not working for me. Even a fully compliant, gluten-free diet, I continued to develop more and more symptoms, even, neurological symptoms, connective tissue symptoms. So I went back to conventional medicine thinking, well, maybe I'm developing, a condition like multiple sclerosis or lupus, because I had a lot of those symptoms. And I was given this, yeah, it kind of looks like it. Let's wait and see. And that was really the turning point where I started to examine my food and my lifestyle, because that was the only thing that I had control over in really kind of steering the ship and changing that outcome and trying to, go towards better health instead of, that path that I was on. It was not pretty.
Indeed. Yeah, because it seems that for autoimmune disorders, many women, and I notice this in my practice, especially, and I say women because it's more common in women by fivefold than in men, although men can certainly have autoimmune disorders. But there's sort of a type of woman like you who may have autoimmunity, but then they say, well, your thyroid tests are normal, you have autoimmunity, but it's inappropriate to give you thyroid medications. And, well, maybe you have a positive ANA. Well, that's really common too. That's a sign of autoimmunity, and some people think, oh my goodness, that means I have lupus. Well, no, it doesn't mean you have lupus. It's just a test that indicates some degree of autoimmunity. But unless you hit the jackpot, have very abnormal thyroid tests, or you have extreme symptoms, joint swelling, kidney problems, the hallmarks of real disease, you're not likely to get treatment, and then the treatments aren't so great either, ultimately.
Yeah, you don't want to find yourself there. And that's kind of what I was understanding was, okay, even if I find out that I have this, big scary lupus or MS, then what? Looking into those treatments, those medications, it was like, well, if I don't do something now, I don't having that diagnosis isn't really going to improve anything. So I got to figure out how to kind of turn things around now. And, that's how I got into nutrition. So my background was as a chef. And so I was very interested in food. And I worked for a lot of different families cooking and preparing them food. And I decided that I would go back to school and study nutrition and start writing about my experience, trying to use food as medicine for myself. And, kind of the rest is history with the blog. And, it's how I met Angie, because she was one of the few people that I actually found online that was doing something similar to me, trying to use an anti-inflammatory paleo, even modified paleo diet, the autoimmune protocol, to help better ourselves and manage our conditions. And we were both really successful, and we both connected kind of on that shared experience.
And you use the term AIP in your book and in your work, and that would be the autoimmune protocol. The autoimmune protocol consists of diet, but it also consists of a whole lot of lifestyle factors that we can touch upon. Let's hear from you, Angie. What prompted you to get involved with this?
Yeah, so I have in some ways a very similar journey to Mickey. I also have celiac disease. I kind of represent the other end of the spectrum in terms of diagnosis time, though. It can be a protracted process, as you guys were mentioning, to get a diagnosis. And from the symptom onset until diagnosis of my primary autoimmune disease was about 11 years.
And
And it
that's more
just, in,
typical, is that
yes,
people
that's much
suffer and
more
suffer, and
typical.
and it's often at the patient's initiation, the patient will say, well, please test me for thyroid, or please test me for celiac. Could it be, that I have that? In some cases, it could, could I have Lyme disease? And often doctors will humor patients, say, okay, yeah, fine, I don't think you have that, but lo and behold.
Right. Right, exactly. It took, a great deal of self-advocating and a lot of work to finally get the right tests in place and get diagnosis. Eventually, I was diagnosed with celiac disease, endometriosis, and lichen sclerosis. With celiac, I'm sure, being the primary driver that kind of ended up leading me down the path to the additional diagnoses. But once I got my diagnosis, unfortunately, if diagnosis has been delayed that long and the process has been allowed to kind of go on, the inflammation has gotten very bad, some damage has started to happen internally. Getting well was not as simple as just adopting a gluten-free diet. In fact, for the first few months after adopting the gluten-free diet, I got sicker and my antibodies continued to climb. So I really started researching online, and like Mickey, I came across the first threads of the research for the autoimmune protocol, and I said, okay, with three autoimmune diseases, this is definitely me, and I need to try this approach, and I dove right in. And within days, I could tell that it was working. And by 6 weeks, my antibodies had dropped by half. Wow. From there, it was like slowly getting a new body. By the time I was 6 months into the protocol, I basically changed every aspect of my life, eventually even my career, to help other people learn about this process and hopefully have an easier recovery than I did.
Indeed. Well, congratulations on your success, both of you, and for sharing your approach, which has optimized your health. Now, tell us a little bit about the scope of autoimmune disease. What are we talking about here? You say that there are literally hundreds of autoimmune disorders. Can you give us a kind of an overview of what we might be talking about here that goes under the rubric of autoimmune?
Yeah, so, autoimmune disease is, family, I guess you could think of diseases that are all linked by the immune system attacking a part of yourself. So this is, supposed to be targeted towards like a virus or a bacteria when you get sick, like a foreign invader, a pathogen. But with autoimmune disease, your body actually makes a mistake, and your immune system starts to attack your own tissue. So like for Angie and I with celiac disease, being exposed to that gluten causes our immune system to attack the small intestine. With Hashimoto's, my body attacks my thyroid. So a hard concept for a lot of people to understand is that these diseases are actually all very linked, although they have very different manifestations. So, a lot of people aren't really aware that, Hashimoto's and multiple sclerosis or celiac disease or rheumatoid arthritis, all those diseases are linked because the root cause is the same. The manifestation is different. So research has shown that, we know of about 100 confirmed autoimmune diseases. So these are diseases where in studies, doctors have come up with a protocol or a criteria of basically this is what an autoimmune disease is. It's where we see the body attacking itself in some way. A lot of times it includes antibodies, but not always. And those are very clearly, defined as autoimmune diseases. And then there are a bunch of other diseases that are suspected autoimmune diseases. So that represents maybe another 40 conditions. So the American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association estimates that there's about 140 of these confirmed and suspected autoimmune diseases. And every year, medical research is uncovering new diseases that are thought to have an autoimmune component. Even things like depression, they're starting to link with autoimmunity in the brain. So it's very far reaching. Yeah.
Indeed. And, you don't have to go that far because if you feel body-wide distress, it's definitely going to have ramifications for your mood. That's a feature for many people who suffer from autoimmune symptoms. What's the theory here? I mean, it's so pervasive. You write in the book that it's, what, 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 in America, very high prevalence. Many people don't even know that they're suffering from a condition because it's subclinical. It hasn't really they're auditioning for the part, but they haven't got it yet. So the doctor's not going to accord them the status of someone with an autoimmune disease, but they feel lousy. And it's unclear why. And they have some features of autoimmunity, but they don't have a classic disorder. What's the theory as to why it's so prevalent? It doesn't seem like autoimmune disease was so prevalent, say, in the 19th century. Is this a modern disorder?
So I think there's a few things. The genetics are always going to be a part of the picture, but I don't think they're all the picture. A lot, especially when we're diagnosed with something scary, it's really easy to say, well, it's in my family, it's in my genes, it's out of my control. But I think that it only really represents a percentage, maybe, 20 to 40% is kind of the research that we came up with of our book, somewhere in that range. The rest of that really has with a diet and the lifestyle, because the immune system and really any other organ and system of the body functions on nutrients. And if the body is not getting those nutrients, then it's going to have to figure out a way to hack its job. And a lot of those hacks involve possibly making a mistake, like, mistakenly attacking the body's own tissue. Once that starts happening, you can't really stop that process. So, the diet, the environmental triggers, things that we're exposed to, our detox detoxification pathways are just constantly clogged up by all of this, smog and pollution in our air, fumes from cars, contaminated water, pesticides in our food. I mean, we could go on and on. But all of that kind of makes the body's job to kind of sort everything and, get rid of things. It just makes it a lot harder. And then combined with the fact that we in this country, at least, eat a really nutrient poor diet that's full of sugar and processed food and chemicals that just like causes inflammation to run rampant. It's no wonder that our body has a hard time kind of finding that path to, getting its job done. So that, that's maybe our opinion on it, but it's not really just one thing. It's not, the fluoride in the water, it's not the pesticides in the food, or it's not that people are, eating gluten, but all of those things combined, I think, really make it that genetics, they switch that on, and then you've got an autoimmune disease.
Indeed. I think in the book you say quite in a pithy fashion, you say the genes load the gun and the environment pulls the trigger. So you can have the potential, but not express it, or alternatively, turn it on and off via lifestyle and diet.
Yep, exactly.
Now, I had a very interesting conversation, a very thought-provoking interview this week with Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky, who is an avowed foe of vaccines. And he's quite convinced that a high percentage of patients with autoimmunity may acquire it via multiple vaccines. I know you state clear that issue in your book, but it's a persuasive argument that when you take multiple vaccines that stimulate the immune system and you inject foreign material into the body, that this, for some individuals, may trigger an exuberant reaction by the immune system, wherein the immune system erroneously attacks the self, goes on
I mean,
rampage.
I this is Angie. I can kind of speak to that. One of my experiences was that we moved overseas. Our family moved overseas to West Africa, just before my 30th birthday. I kind of had this what you might call subclinical or kind of silent autoimmunity kind of lurking. I didn't feel all that great, but I didn't feel horrible either. And when we had to move to that location in the developing world, it required a lot of very serious vaccinations, which were the right thing to do to prevent the deadly effects of those diseases. But it was a lot of vaccines at once, and my liver is not up to the methylation job all the time as well as other livers are. I have a mutation there, something that I didn't know at the time. And I think
That
it
would
put
be
a
something
lot of
like the
load,
MTHFR
the MTHFR
mutation,
mutation,
which we
correct.
sometimes talk about here on television
Yeah,
medicine.
yeah. Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that at the time. And I took the vaccines, and shortly after arriving in West Africa, my autoimmune situation exploded. And I definitely went to the deepest, sickest period that I've had with autoimmune disease and spent about 3 years deeply there. I think that there's nothing wrong with vaccines in and of themselves, but I think more careful and judicious application of them and being aware of, for instance, the capacity of any given patient's ability to detoxify, should inform how quickly that process is done so that, hopefully you can avoid that kind of autoimmune storm.
That's very well
I
said.
think there's something to
You know,
that.
and well, model for that might be Gulf War syndrome, which is a mysterious disease that it's believed to be autoimmune in origin, which may have been triggered by sending a lot of U.S. soldiers to the Middle East with lots of vaccinations and, in fact, treatments against germ warfare. They actually got, super revved up vaccine program. Then they were exposed to lots of stress because there was the war zone. And they were exposed to toxic chemicals because they were burning oil derricks out there. And literally, the air was clouded with black smoke and possibly, exposure to harmful chemicals. So that is a major challenge to the immune system. And that could be sort of a model. I think, by the way, strapping young men for the most part, not candidates for vague autoimmune sounding symptoms, but they came down en masse with mysterious disorder.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean, my
I'm sure
personal.
they. Oh, sorry to
No,
talk
go
over you
ahead.
guys too, but I would also say they probably weren't eating great organic fruits and
Exactly.
vegetables
Very
and
good point.
meat,
I mean, they weren't eating like wild caught salmon. And
Right.
fresh garden vegetables there because it's the desert and they got rations and they're probably just eating highly refined foods. Besides, young guys in the army, what do they like to eat? And they had commissaries there where they had plenty of concessions from American junk food companies, so they could load up on that stuff. It's like you go out, you're exposed to combat, and how do you console yourself? With potato chips and candy.
Right. I mean, this is definitely, it bears my own experience out. I was living in a developing world. I didn't have access to high quality foods. There wasn't access to, strong medical systems. It was a very stressful environment. There was lots of new bacteria and pathogens I was being exposed to. And then you add the vaccines, it's a lot for the body to try to process. And it's no wonder that it trips that autoimmune trigger.
Okay, well, you've laid the groundwork for our discussion of the AIP, the Autoimmune Protocol, which you outline in the Autoimmune Wellness Handbook. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with the authors of the handbook, Mickey Trescott and Angie Ault, both with us today on Intelligent Medicine. And we're going to do a deep dive on diet, the rationale for the right kind of diet, and other lifestyle factors that can help to turn the corner on autoimmune diseases. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.